Good morning, and welcome back to your morning conversation here on KXCV KRNW. I'm Jeremy Werner. Joining me this morning is the music director and conductor of the St. Joseph Symphony, Dr. Christopher Keltz. He will be leading the symphony as they perform Holiday Cheer tomorrow night at 7 p.m. at the Missouri Theater in St. Joseph. This will be your second show as the new conductor of the St. Joseph Symphony, and it is basically about Christmas. So what is it that this time of year means to you?
Well, I mean, this time of year is... I think this time of year has the same feeling it does in many places. I get a sense that, you know, people are generally happier this time of year. I think that people are thinking about their own ways to give back generously, whether that's time or monetary. I think that the music is purposefully upbeat and traditional, and I think nostalgia plays a big role in this time of year.
And so how much of that do you put into your Christmas show when you decide to start piecing it together?
Well, I think that we're certainly not the only orchestra that gives holiday-themed performances, of course. And so when we're putting the pieces together, I think what's kind of guiding forces behind that are tradition. People do come to these concerts and have an expectation. They want to hear familiar Christmas tunes or carols or what they might be. And then, so aside from tradition, then we look at what can I offer that would be different. So I incorporate that into the program. And then the third thing that I try to incorporate is something that promotes the idea of togetherness. So that could be sing-alongs or could be multimedia interaction during the concert as well.
You know, the thing I like about Christmas performances, because I myself am not a big kind of Christmas music person, but the thing I like about it is there's so many different kind of pieces in terms of instrumentals or songs or characters. Like, there's so much that people can choose from. How big would your, you know, Christmas holiday catalog of music be that you open up and go, all right, what am I going to pick?
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot because most most music for this time of year is not lengthy. I mean, there are Christmas concertos and sort of winter-themed symphonies, but the traditional fare that's used... you're looking at pieces that run between, 2.5 minutes all the way up to 6 minutes. So you get a lot in your catalog because you go through a lot of pieces. But yeah, the depth is there. And one of the challenging aspects in programming holiday Christmas performances is that you don't want it to become just the same old, pardon the expression, cookie cutter concert that everybody hears. I mean, I could play any children's song or any symphony from any of the repertoire. If I put sleigh bells in the middle of it, everyone will already associate it with Christmas time.
So do you have and I guess I'll give you time to think, but do you have like a deep cut of like something Christmassy that you like performing or something that, you know, people don't think of when they think Christmas? I know there's people who say Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
And when I think Die Hard, by the way, is a Christmas
movie. Okay, good. But when I think like something that is off the beaten path in terms of Christmas music, I think of Danny Elfman's score in Edward Scissorhands, specifically Ice Dance, which feels like, you know, very harmonious and very Christmassy.
Well, so a few years ago, and the orchestra that we did this with is, that's not relevant to the story, but is Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I say Harry Potter is because as a kid, as a young adult, I guess I wasn't a kid at that time. I felt like a kid. But every time those movies premiered, it was around Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I associate this time of year with all of the Harry Potter movies.
And you know, the theme, I think they play it usually over the scenes of Christmas in the movies, especially the very early ones.
Yes, and it's and add into that John Williams' ability to use different types of instruments that already for American culture has this kind of Christmassy association to it. So anything sleigh bells, anything played by the celeste, you can thank Tchaikovsky for that and his character dances in The Nutcracker, which is why we have that direct association. So anytime a piece of music has that, the brain automatically switches to this kind of holiday memory. And so when you talk about music that's not directly associated with Christmas, but what we would call Christmas adjacent, you know, this would definitely fall into that category.
Will you be doing Harry Potter?
We won't be doing any Harry Potter this year. This year is more structured around a traditional concert, meaning that a lot of the audience is going to directly recognize and associate directly with Christmas. But we do have a couple of what I think are fun elements to the evening. One of them being that very famous carol, The Little Drummer Boy.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know this piece?
Oh, yeah. I went to, I'm trying to remember where it was in Kansas City, but in elementary school, I went to a Christmas concert. And I remember that was the song I recognized because I felt like we had listened to it ad nauseum in kindergarten.
Okay. So, yes. And it hits the radio, I feel, at 12:01 a.m. on November 1st. Right? That very famous recording of Little Drummer Boy. And, well, it turns out that the composer, Catherine Davis, was born in St. Joseph, Missouri.
Really?
So she's a St. Joseph, Missouri native. And so as she made her career, it was equally important for us with the St. Joseph Symphony to perform what she actually called Carol of the Drum, and it later kind of gained the name Little Drummer Boy. The Carol of the Drum. So we have a composer who's from St. Joseph. Plus, we're talking about a time period where women composers didn't have the kind of opportunities and exposure as finally they're getting now in the 21st century. So it's equally important that we would play a piece by Catherine Davis. And so lucky for us, it happens to be kind of a very popular Christmas carol.
How much of a historical perspective goes into crafting concerts like this?
Well, that actually kind of depends. I mean, the St. Joseph Symphony, being in St. Joseph, kind of hits a gold mine with The Little Drummer Boy. I suppose out east, where she actually wrote the piece, and I can't remember what state or region out east, they could also lay claim to something like that. I don't know that historical significance plays a major role in what we do.
Okay.
I think what plays a major role is trying to find the variety. I mean, that as a music director, that becomes a major concern for me, because then everything begins to start to sound the same.
Mm-hmm.
And while people will love it, I do have to think about sort of the ebb and flow and the artistic structure of the concert.
That makes sense.
And it can't all be jingle bells.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you composed an original Christmas piece?
No, I don't write music at all. That is an avenue of music making that still I'm in awe of, to have composers who can sit down and conceptualize their imagination and write music and then set it to whatever creative instrumentation they have. So in short, no. I wish I had that talent. I don't.
What would you say are some of your favorites?
Christmas carols?
Yeah, Christmas carols, music, you know. It can be anything.
Well, I tell you, I am always a fan of the music from The Nutcracker. And it's in two parts, as you probably know. The ballet's in two parts. I am very opinionated, and I think that the best music of the Nutcracker is in part one. That's where you're introduced to the family, you're introduced to the toy of the Nutcracker. By the way, this is all spoilers, okay, if nobody knows the story of the Nutcracker. And then, of course, the magic happens, and she shrinks down to find herself in the magical Christmas land, okay? And then there's the battle with the Mouse King, and the Mouse King dies, and it's a whole thing. It's very exciting music. Part two has those very famous caricature dances. So Trey Peck and Coffee and Chinese and Sugar Plum Fairies and all that is in part two. I just like that music. The Waltz of the Flowers, which we're performing Saturday night, remains one of my favorites. It's so beautiful. And what's really amazing about it is that Tchaikovsky, being deeply ingrained in Russian culture in St. Petersburg, was also extremely influenced by the music of Vienna and Western sort of classical music of Europe. And so Waltz of the Flowers, while it has a very Tchaikovsky Russian sound to it, its structure is like that of a Strauss type of waltz.
Have you been the maestro for, you know, a Nutcracker production?
I have. Yeah, it's been a long time. It's been a long time.
Was that kind of like a daunting, challenging thing to do since it is your favorite?
So when you are an opera conductor, mm-hmm. you are 99.8% of the time never wrong. Mm. If you say slower, faster, shorter, longer, louder, softer, everyone goes, yes, okay. If you are a ballet conductor, you are 99.8% of the time wrong. They want you to go slower, faster, louder, softer, shorter, longer. It's a difficult craft. It's a difficult craft. And, you know, like during Trey Peck, when the Russian dancers jump, you know, people only fall at a certain rate. You can't ask people to come back to the stage quicker.
Yeah.
And so you have to really ingrain yourself in the tempo that's extremely organic to the physical ability of the dancer on stage. And that presents its a whole new set of challenges. I don't know that I'm very good at it, quite honestly.
Oh, well.
Both dancing Trey Peck, I'm no good. And I don't know. It's a challenge for me to conduct ballet. I enjoy it, but it's tough.
Is it something you kind of have to practice for over time to where you can start getting, you know, better at it? Or,
well, I think the key is that you cannot just come in for the tech rehearsals, mm-hmm. the dress rehearsals. You have to be in the trenches with everyone else, with the rehearsal pianist. You have to be there with the dancers from day one, and that you grow conceptually with the production.
Okay.
And so that way, when performance time comes around, the needed tempos and structures of the music are already ingrained.
Okay. So for tomorrow night, is there like a method that you get into before you, you know, take your spot in front of everyone?
You mean, do I get nervous?
Oh,
do I get stage fright?
I originally was going to ask what gets you in the Christmas spirit, but that's very vague.
I don't. My pre-concert rituals remain sort of the same no matter what I'm doing. Now, what does change are the logistical aspects. Pops concerts always present more logistical needs than regular classical serious concerts. So I do spend some time talking with the theater director, technical director and everything, just making sure that we're all good to go with lighting and temperature and setup and all of those things. But just before performance like this, I'll spend my time relaxing. I do thumb through the scores and just review things. I don't believe in walking out on stage and looking at the music for the first time after the final dress rehearsal, if that makes sense. So when the final dress rehearsal ends, I do like to see the music again before I get on the podium.
Okay.
It just is, I don't know, it's a reassurance You know, maybe I'm flipping through the pages going, know it, I know it, no worries, I know it. It's the same when a musician comes to the hall, they unpack their instrument, and they'll normally go to stage and warm up. And I think that that's what they're doing. They're just sort of getting another look at the music before it's showtime.
Okay. You know, I only ask because, you know, athletes have their warm-ups for, you know, their body, and your kind of, you know, field, it's, you know, what's the warm-up for the brain? Because it's – a lot of it is mental.
I never listen to the recordings of the pieces.
Okay. Is that because you get like a – what it – you get this kind of idea of maybe this is how it should sound and maybe what I've...
Yeah, you want to kind of avoid that. But when you're talking about warming up your brain, I like to think of notes on a page like words in a book.
Okay.
That when I'm reading the notes in my head, I'm also trying to remember what the sound is like for that instrument that I'm reading.
Okay.
So that I have sort of a timbral... memory of what an oboe sounds like, a flute sounds like. And I try to read the music like a book. I would imagine many conductors do this.
Okay. And I'm only curious because I do not have that kind of talent in my mind. So I'm curious about kind of the thought process behind that.
I think it just takes practice. I think that's the one reason why, you know, young musicians should spend a great deal of time not hearing music. It's one thing to hear music. It's like being in the radio. You don't want your listeners to hear your broadcast. Mm-hmm. You want them to listen to your broadcast.
Yeah.
And that's what I want young musicians to do, is listen to music. That's the way that they can build their memory of what instruments, the characteristics that make that instrument sound the way it sounds. And then when they look at the notes on the page, and while you don't have to have perfect pitch to know what the music sounds like, you can have an imaginative conception of what the piece sounds like. It's like reading any book for the very first time. You can put the characters in the setting that you believe the imagination of the words leads you to. It's the exact same with music.
Okay. Well, not to shift gears all of a sudden, but
no, please.
What's your favorite part about this time of year, since I think, you know,
the
people
food.
Well,
I'm kidding. I mean, yeah, it's the food. It's all terrible for you. But
I mean, it's the only time of year where you can just, you know, it's okay to have a candy cane and cookie and, you know, that and all this.
Is it just this time of year?
I mean, I don't eat candy canes in July.
They have Christmas in July. They have
that's
all those specials. No, I think it's you know, nostalgia is a very powerful emotion. And the double-edged sword aspect to nostalgia is that people think they remember the way things used to be, but the way that they remember it is not necessarily reality. Now, that's not to get dark about this, because when you talk about holiday concerts and the kind of nostalgia that it brings people to, I think it's unique for everyone else. If they hear the Carol O Come All Ye Faithful, or maybe they hear excerpts from the Nutcracker, maybe they're transported to a moment or a feeling or a time in their lives when they directly associate with that. And so, and I think that's apparent in the way that people enjoy art this time of year. You know, I'm almost certain that that's why the retail industry does so well during this time of year. Not because of what they're selling is amazing, it's because everybody remembers going shopping during this time of year.
Or as a kid, just opening up that brand new thing.
Exactly. It's absolutely playing on this idea of nostalgia. I think this time of year has all the positives with that.
Is there anything you have to do this time of year to kind of get into the spirit of the holidays?
I do not listen to holiday music unless I have to, and not before the month of December. I know that a lot of radio stations and streaming services start playing holiday-themed music the moment Halloween passes.
Yeah.
And I think it's so early. Not not to get on the train of let's give Thanksgiving its due, because that's a holiday with the worst food, in my opinion, right? But people always start with Christmas music so early, and it's like, you know, you want to savor some of this, and so, you know, 60 days of holiday music is probably overkill.
Oh, yeah.
So I try to avoid it.
Well, do you have like a ritual you do with friends or family, a movie? I know growing up my parents would – they don't do it anymore, but they used to always watch It's a Wonderful Life.
That's a good movie. I also watch National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
That's become the new modern kind of holiday classic.
It has all sorts of inappropriateness mixed with slapstick comedy. I have always watched Die Hard. My wife does not care if she watches it or not. But It's a Wonderful Life is always a good one. And also, Meet Me in St. Louis. People would say maybe watch White Christmas, but I don't actually like the movie White Christmas. I like watching Meet Me in St. Louis because that famous song, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, is at the end of that movie. And so it's kind of had a Christmas adjacent feel to it, even though the movie does not center around that holiday.
I've seen it, I think. Judy Garland's in that,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Doesn't Christmas happen in it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, towards the end of the film. Yeah.
And I think, ironically, I watched it on Christmas one year.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it probably airs.
I guess it's not a Christmas movie, but it is a movie that kind of feels Christmassy, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Oh, it totally does. But, I mean, the film ends with them in the summer going to the World's Fair in St. Louis.
Mm.
And if you've ever been to St. Louis in the summer, it does not feel like Christmas.
Nope.
At all.
It's the opposite.
Yes, very much the opposite.
Well, unfortunately, it really doesn't feel like Christmas around here, actually.
Well, I can't say I'm too sad about that.
Not someone who likes a good snow?
Well, not when I want people to come out to a performance. We've got a lot of performers traveling from the Kansas City and Maryville areas and northeast Kansas and St. Louis even. So I do like it when the weather cooperates, because then I know our full forces will be here.
Well, that makes sense.
It can snow all at once on December 19th forward, but not before then.
Well, I've looked at the long range. It does not look like it'll do that.
Okay, fine. I'll take it.
It's been a while since I've seen a White Christmas, actually.
That's probably true. Yeah.
But not to get too far away, is there anything else you want to mention about tomorrow's performance that you think our listeners should know about?
Only to remind everyone who's coming to our performance on Saturday, December the 18th, the performance begins at 7 o'clock p.m. and doors open at 6 o'clock at the Missouri Theater in downtown St. Joseph. So 7 o'clock p.m.
All right. Thank you for joining me. Good luck tomorrow. Once again, that was music director and conductor of the St. Joseph Symphony, Dr. Christopher Kiltz. He'll be leading the symphony tomorrow for holiday cheer, starting at 7 p.m. tomorrow in St. Joseph at the Missouri Theater. Tickets are still available at stjosephsymphony.org, as well as information about all of their upcoming shows, including tomorrow's and next year's. I'm Jeremy Werner, and this has been your morning conversation here on KXCV, KRNW.